Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Jody Hamilton. Hi.
Hi, I actually get to see you.
Yeah, I know. We never video chat like this.
No,
we turn off the video for our my Thursday show when you're on.
Well, that's because we're always naked. So, I mean, it's
what?
Important that...
Hey!
Right, well, my show has a pants optional policy.
It does.
Yeah. Well, we used to be Pants Free Friday on the Stephanie Miller show.
Yeah, well, of course.
That
of
was
course
a Jackie Schechter suggestion. Yeah. And so we took it.
I think that's a good suggestion.
I do too.
I look forward to Friday.
Yeah.
All righty then.
By the way, happy birthday to Stephanie.
Yes.
Oh my God. Huge birthday. But if she gets to be 40, I get to be 30. Thank you very much.
Well, me too. We're about the same age, Bob. Yeah. Me too.
See, I'm just saying. She looks 40, so, you know, whatever you can get away with, I suppose.
And I look 30. Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I do still get carded for alcohol, so I feel good about that.
Yeah.
So, Bob.
Oh, that's fun. Yes. Hi.
So,
oh,
Stephanie
my God.
Grisham can kiss my... what do you think of all this other than the obvious that she should have said something before? I mean,
yeah, that's, I think this is half, oh, look what I saw, and half, oh my God, don't think I'm one of them.
Right.
That was kind of it's a CYA move for Stephanie Grisham in large part. And it all has to do with here's what Trump did. And here's what I tried to do to stop him, but it didn't work.
Right.
When I was reading through the excerpts, that's what I was reading. That's exactly what I was reading. Oh, he was crazy. Oh, but you know what? I was there and I tried to ignore him. He asked me to do crazy stuff, but I ignored him.
Right.
See, me, I'm a hero because I ignored his crazy things.
It's,
No. That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, look, it's not like she appeared in the White House working for Donald Trump and like, oh, who's this guy?
Right.
Who's this guy? Donald, I don't know. Is he weird? I don't know. Is he a problem for the country? I have no idea who this guy is. Anyone who believes that is more deluded than we thought and seems like. She wants people to believe that she was completely clueless about who this guy is. We all knew who he was when he was riding down the escalator in 2015. We knew who he was, you know, years before that with the birth certificate nonsense.
Right.
And, you know, everyone knew. I mean, that's the thing that I can't get past with Donald Trump is, I mean, you ask anyone who even visited New York City between, you know, going as far back as the 1970s, who is this guy, Donald Trump?
Right.
And they're going to go, nah, stay away from him.
Well, that's why he didn't win New York, obviously.
Yeah, he's a professional con man. I mean, just read the New York Post, read the New York Times. You'll find all Donald Trump. But there were so millions of people in this country who were like, oh my God, who's this? What a revelation he is.
Well, Mark Burnett is a lot to blame for that, too. I mean, he definitely propped him up to make him look like this amazing businessman, which he was not. I mean, the one thing that Trump is good at is marketing himself. I will give him that. But other than that, he's a disaster and needs to be stopped at all costs. You tweeted out about Brian Stelter, excuse me. He highlights the failure of news broadcasts to cover the Trump coup memo. I agree. That's insane that it's hardly been covered, that the six-point Eastman memo happened.
Yeah, how does... Right, right. I mean, there was a certain period of time, I think within 48 to 72 hours, the New York Times still hadn't written word one about the Eastman memo. My God, this is something... The Eastman memo is something that's going to be the title of a chapter in a history book, you know, for maybe the next generation down the road. They're going to be reading about the Eastman memo like we read about the Pentagon Papers or things like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This was a roadmap to overthrow the government of the United States. I mean, you can't get more explicit than that
The thing is, though, the Pentagon Papers were taken seriously at the time.
They were.
The Eastman memo isn't being reported.
Well, and in conjunction with the Sidney Powell story saying that she was hoping Justice Alito would just stop the count. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, Justice Alito needs to come before this January 6th commission. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. But it's like, the idea that of the memo is to lie about several sets of electors. If there were actual different sets of electors, then you do invoke the 12th Amendment at some point, depending on who has the, if nobody reached 270, that's the law. Yeah, yeah. But they were going to fabricate it, which is what's mind-boggling, that there has been very little talk of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. The crazy part of the article is it does kind of have an underpants gnome section, like a question mark section, you know?
Yeah.
And I refer to it as kind of the yada, yada, yada part.
Right.
It's like, okay, Mike Pence is going to do this, yada, yada, yada. It's in the House of Representatives now. Right. And look what happens then. Trump becomes president.
Right.
And it's... And it's all kind of embodied in that. Oh, the first line, I think it's whatever it is, number three, maybe, where it's just Democrats go nuts.
Right.
that's baked into the whole plan. Yeah. The Democrats going nuts. You know what? If it was just the Democrats going nuts in that scenario, we'd have a bigger problem in this country than Donald Trump, because it really ought to be in that scenario. Getting past, you know, let's say there was no insurrection. Let's say this went to plan, where Mike Pence did the things outlined in the Eastman memo, and decided to go that direction. I mean, it's amazing that everything came down. Our democracy came down to Mike Pence
and Dan Quayle.
But I mean, let's say the insurrection didn't take place, and he decided not to certify or not to count the electors in the Senate. Because there were these shadow electors who didn't have any authority whatsoever that he decided to introduce and gum up the works. If it was just Democrats going bananas at that point in time, we're in deep crap. I mean, what ought to happen in that scenario is everyone goes bananas.
Right.
Oh, my God, Mike Pence is trying to steal the election. I mean, the reaction to the insurrection to me was not nearly as significant as I was hoping it would be. And it was pretty significant. I mean, remember, there were lots of heads rolling in the wake of the insurrection, lots of people getting kicked off social media. Mm-hmm. Ooh, ooh, people losing their Pinterest account. How are we going to survive? I mean, my God, I wish so much more attention was paid to what happened on January 6th, what happened leading up to it, what has happened since then. Because at this point, without any particular justice against the ringleaders of the whole thing, people like John Eastman, people like Donald Trump and all the rest, without any of that kind of swift justice, I just get the sense they're working on the next Eastman memo.
I think you're
right. The next 6-point plan. And it's not going to have the yada yada part.
It probably won't have the, you know, Democrats freak out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There's a new Pew poll, Pew survey, excuse me, right words, please. Just 57% of Republicans say it's important to prosecute Capitol rioters, down from 79% in March. This is part of the problem. Mm-hmm. They say 57% of Republicans said it's either very or somewhat important that federal law enforcement finds and prosecutes those who broke the law and rioted at the Capitol. The word riot is wrong.
Occupied,
you know, but only 27% think it's very important, and 30% say it's somewhat important. I mean, 50% deeming it very important back in March, 79% said it was important. Now, this is the part of the problem to me is their voters don't seem to care that this almost happened, even after minimal reporting.
For years in this country, we've lost sight of what it means to live in a democratic republic, where what we do is whoever comes up with the best ideas and can back those ideas with facts and science and history and things like that, then they win. Right. I mean, that's kind of how democracy is supposed to work, whether that winner is the Republican side or the Democratic side.
Right.
That's how we do democracy in this country. At some point, people got in their heads that the way you if you can't convince someone of your argument, then pull out a gun or invade the Capitol or start suing them for defamation because they said something mean about you on Twitter or whatever. This is the new version of democracy where it's become a blood sport with this kind of existential endgame built into it. Like, we can't just disagree. And look, it's become necessary in some cases to take action, like indicting Donald Trump and so on, because of one particular side of this debate not playing on the level and kind of skewing the divide, dragging democracy into this realm of violence and blood sport. And that's the dangerous aspect of all of this. This is where people get desensitized to the idea of, oh, you mean a gaggle of 600 people invaded and occupied the Capitol? Is there a Golden Girls rerun on right now?
Exactly. You know, it's just like,
ho-hum, you know, there it is.
I did have one friend of mine voted for Trump last year, and he also voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016, so I do not understand that disconnect. But after January 6th, actually, while it was going on, he went, now I'm out. It's like, okay, at least it took that to have you drop imbecile and the mass murderer, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's the other problem that we're facing is because of the pandemic, because how the Trump administration ended with that insurrection, we kind of lose sight of the other things, don't we? I mean, the fact that he was impeached for trying to cheat in the election using a foreign government as an apparatchik, you know, trying to muscle them into conducting an investigation against his would-be political enemy at that point in time. And we forget about things like Charlottesville and just the daily indignities that we faced as a country just opening up Twitter every day. It was and so I wish some of those things wouldn't get lost down the memory hole. And I think that some of us who are repeating those events and trying to re-inject them back into the conversation, I think that's an important part of this process. Our friend Mary Trump talks about a reckoning. And I think part of that reckoning, which is the title of her book, is coming to terms with everything about the previous 4 years and realizing that this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not what the presidency is supposed to be. We had a leader in this country who learned how to become president by watching Fox News Channel.
Right.
And that's not real politics. No. That's like some sort of version of political entertainment. And, you know, he got all of his ideas in terms of how he's going to comport himself on the national stage. He got all of his talking points. I mean, most of them from Fox News Channel. Mm-hmm. I mean, bear in mind, Donald Trump hasn't had an original thought ever in his life. Right. It's always borrowed or stolen from someone else.
Exactly.
Also, Melania Trump, I mean, flagrantly plagiarizing Michelle Obama's speeches, or Donald Trump's entire business model of taking someone else's building and slapping his name on it.
Exactly.
This is what he does. The birth certificate thing was Orly Tate's, not Donald Trump.
Oh, I miss her.
Yeah,
I can't believe we had her in studio.
You did.
That must have been fun.
It was. Oh my God. It was interesting, and it was, you know, when Jim was still in studio with us, and Jim just, you know, kind of.
Of course he did. Of course he did. Well, I mean, the thing with Trump being in office was it was the fire hose of tennis balls. You know, it was just, there was so much coming at us that by the time he finally left, the insurrection was all you could think about, and COVID. Because those were so big.
Exactly. The thing is, though, what got us to the insurrection, what convinced all of those people to do what they did, is because for 4 years they watched the President of the United States behaving the way he was behaving, right, and getting the correct readout that, oh, this is how it's okay to, we can behave like this now. We can do this in public. We can scream the N-word in public, or we can invade and occupy the Capitol building because the president told us to.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's really, really awful to be in this place and to wonder, how do you rebottle it? How do you marginalize it again? And how long, and if we can, if it's even possible, how long does that take? Because, you know, the next election is just around the corner. Yeah.
It is. And how do you feel about, because according to Jen Psaki, Biden met with Kirsten Sinema yesterday.
Yeah, a few times.
A few times. Yeah. So I think, obviously he's talking about the infrastructure packages too. He's, he has to be talking about that because she could hold things up there. But do you think that he is putting the screws to her and to anybody else who is against filibuster reform? Because that's the only thing. It's not going to go away at this point, but I think it can be reformed, and I think he might be putting the screws to them with regard to that. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to go up against Joe Biden when it comes to Senate matters. I mean, he was in the United States Senate practically before we were born. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll speak for myself, before I was born. Oh, wait a minute, I'm 30, so how does that work?
It was way before you were born.
But I mean, certainly before Kirsten Sinema was born, he was in the United States Senate. Mm-hmm. So he knows some things, and he's got some cards up his sleeve in order to, you know, negotiate and try to muscle people like Kirsten Sinema into doing what he needs them to do. So I don't know what those specific things are, because she's in a, all told, she's in a pretty good spot, mm-hmm. given the fact that we've got this 50-50 Senate.
Right.
And she's decided that she can. And the same, and everything I say about Kirsten Sinema goes the same for Joe Manchin. Mm-hmm. They recognize the position they're in and that they can use their centrist platform as kind of a way to muscle more money for their state and to get more things for them and to, you know, burnish their reputation, certainly with their donors, if you look at what Kirsten Sinema has been up to this week. So they understand the hand that they have in all of this, and I don't know how Joe Biden would outflank that. I don't know exactly what he could say. Well, you know, you won't, we're not going to support you in your reelection campaign. Fine, I'll just run as a Republican.
Well, yeah, neither one is up for reelection in 22.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So I wonder what the cards are that Joe Biden would play in that situation. I would love to know what leverage he's trying to exact in that scenario.
Well, between him and Pelosi, they've got a tough job ahead of them. And look, we went long. I'm in trouble. Chris keeps going this and do this and get off the thing with him. Stop chatting.
Start throwing staplers pretty soon.
Yeah, he's going to start doing that. I have the dart gun. But okay, bye, Bob. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks. Bye, Jody.
I'm confirming tomorrow with you now.
And subscribe to the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, available on any of your podcast apps.
There you go. Bye, Bob.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.